as Chelsea drop points, Tottenham drop points, Man City and Man U drop points, Liverpool drop points, it's been a bad week for the big teams and a good one for the small ones. So unsurprisingly, Joel actually had a good week this week and outscores me and Sam. On this week, we discuss that. We discuss the upcoming game week. We do a fancy room 101 where Sam rants about the mafia. And we finish off with a fancy related quiz all today on Midnight FPL. Okay, it's Sunday. We have to record on a Sunday this time because we're aware of the fixture congestion that's about to come. And I'm joined by Sam. Sam, do you want to say hello?
Hi, everyone. How's it going? That was rhetorical, obviously.
Yeah, it's good to specify. John?
Yeah, how's it going? Yeah, good. I'm feeling good this week. It's the first like happy hello I've had for ages. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
That's so refreshing. Oh God, I don't want to talk about fancy. How was your week, Sam?
Well, what I'm a bit upset about, Lou, is you've just said Joel's outscored both of us. I'm not sure he has outscored me. He's on 59.
He was really happy.
I got 63, mate.
So I've got 65 after bonus, and I think Joel's got 63.
Oh, damn it.
You took a hit, Sam.
So I think it's my W. Oh, yeah, fair play. Okay. Anyway, I'll just give a quick run over of my team. So yeah, pretty good because I think the average is pretty low this week. I got points from Che Adams, Calvert-Lewin and Kane all up front. Captain Salah, which went okay because he got 7. Had Son, had Target and Martinez, who both got clean sheets. So that was pretty good. And yeah, just generally pretty solid week, really.
Nice. Joel?
Leicester saved my week, basically. I had Vardy and James, Justin. Vardy and Justin, who got 11 and 13 points each, which was very nice. And then Salah captain as well. So I had a pretty awful Saturday, but Sunday kind of saved me. So for once, I mean, it's not a great week to have a good week because everyone kind of got pretty similar, but I'm still pretty glad to be on the upper end of the results this week.
Congrats. So I got 50 with a minus 4, so 46, which is pretty poor. Very poor. I got all blanks across my defense. Basically, Martinez, the great bloke, saved my week entirely because he got 11 of my points. I wasn't expecting that in the slightest. Salah captain. I mean, he got 7 points. He didn't deserve any of them. He was terrible.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
Calvert-Lewin assist.
Oh my God, Salah. Fuming, to be
honest. Calvert-Lewin allergic to bonus points as well? Because I swear he just never gets any as well. That really irritates me. Welbeck should have scored a sitter. If Welbeck scores that sitter, Justin doesn't get that clean sheet as well. And he gets... Oh, it would have been such a good swing. But alas. Yes, it's pretty bad for me. But I've been due a bad game week. And hopefully we can remedy it. Next week, my transfers were actually okay, to be fair, because I took out Jota and Werner. We got 2 between them and Boyan Salah. But even still, pretty underwhelming. What are you going to do?
It's nice we've got a game week coming up in just a couple of days' time. Kind of forget about this week and move on to the next one. So not too much sitting around feeling sorry for ourselves. So lots to look forward to.
Oh, you did well. You're that little smirk on your face. You're just saying that for Louis' benefit.
I know, he's being nice. So, usually we talk on a Monday and we talk about what we're going to do this week and it's kind of a long way off. But now we actually need to make those decisions very soon as the deadline is fast approaching. What are you going to do this week, Sam?
For me, I think I'm just... Yeah, okay, I think I'm going to go with taking out Salah. I mean, I can't confirm for sure, but right now I'm looking at this and thinking Salah against Tottenham at home. I really think Tottenham are just so solid. They might Liverpool might get a goal. I can't see them getting 2 or 3 goals. And if they only get 1 goal, then, you know, one of 11 players could score it. And Salah obviously is the most likely person to score it or get an assist or whatever.
Alisson's not going to score it though, is he?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but it's just playing the percentage. It's playing the percentages against Tottenham. The way they're playing, they conceded their first goal in like 800 minutes in the Premier League against Palace today. So I just think there's not a lot of sense in keeping Salah at such a high premium and not bringing in De Bruyne without having to take a hit either when he's playing at home to West Brom.
My caveat, my only caveat to that is when Salah plays at home to West Brom in 2 weeks' time, you're just going to want him back, and then you're just going to have to be constantly using up your free transfer on your premiums and not being able to do anything elsewhere.
But that's okay with me because, as I said last week, I think the big five are Kane, Son, Fernandes, Salah and De Bruyne. And I reckon as long as you've got those, you'll have, like throughout the season, I reckon you'll have enough points to prop up your team regardless of what's going on elsewhere in the team. So I'm happy to keep swapping them out for the time being.
Okay. Joel, what do you need this week?
I'm pretty much thinking along the same lines as Sam. I don't have De Bruyne in my team. I don't think Liverpool, I don't see Liverpool scoring much against Spurs for the reason Sam's just said. My only thing is I don't know if De Bruyne is definitely going to start. I mean, we make this Pep rotation to be like a big deal, but this could be the one game where De Bruyne gets rested. So I don't know. But having said that, I still think it's worth having De Bruyne in your team for the whole season. But I then think after this week, I then can think of how I can get Salah back in my team, which might mean losing Vardy for a cheaper striker. So I'm happy to not have Salah this week because I can think I can bring him back in after. But I think De Bruyne is going to be an essential this week. Oh. I think everyone's going to captain him. So,
Joel, you say De Bruyne is worth having for the whole season. If you actually look at his performance, he's only got 56 points. Mane hasn't had a great season. He's got two more points than De Bruyne. I can't remember the last time Mane actually had a good game. Like, Zaha has 74 points. Grealish has 73 points. They've all got more points than De Bruyne. I don't think he's worth having the whole season. I just think against a team like West Brom at home, it is a bit of a no-brainer. But to be honest, after West Brom, okay, fine, they've got Southampton away and then Newcastle home. They're decent fixtures. But I wouldn't be thinking De Bruyne has got to stay in my team the whole season in the same way that I'd be thinking Fernandes has got to stay there, Son's got to stay there or whatever.
But De Bruyne got 250 points last season. Son got how many? I mean, De Bruyne, one, didn't play the first game of the season because he didn't have a fixture. Then he got injured. I mean, he's not been playing constantly. In the last, he's got 14 and 10 points there. He could have got way more points against United as well. If anyone was going to get points, he was.
Yeah, I think City have started the season quite slowly. I still think they're not quite kind of like fully functioning. So once Jesus or Aguero has a proper run and up top, I think that's when they'll start picking up more points and doing better. So
yeah,
first part of the season hasn't been great, but I can see City kind of building, picking up pace, especially with their fixtures they've got coming up as well. Yeah. So I think De Bruyne's one to
agree with that. But I also think it's worth mentioning, on the other hand, that Salah actually hasn't played that well this season. He's got points and all that, but I mean, today he should never have got points. It was a ridiculously soft penalty. Fulham outplayed them in the first half, and okay, I'm going to say Fulham are a great team, but a lot of people are going to disagree with me and think Liverpool have just sat down to a team that's, you know, got pretty good odds to get relegated. And Salah's got a penalty which was right down the middle and almost saved. So not even Salah is a banker, to be honest.
But it's the thing, I agree Salah hasn't been performing that great, but he's still picking up points. And when it comes to fantasy, it doesn't really matter if your performances aren't great. As long as he's still scoring penalties, you can play rubbish and then nick a pen. It doesn't really matter that much. But yeah, I just think it's all about premium midfielders.
I think it's about premiums and planning your captaincies. You need to have the best premium for that captaincy week because you don't want to get, like, every single one is delivered in a row, basically. Bruno did against West Brom at home, then De Bruyne did against Fulham, and Salah did today, kind of.
Yeah,
you just need to make sure that you have that person. I've got a midfield of De Bruyne, Fernandes, Son, Salah, Grealish. So I've got both. So I'm going to go De Bruyne captain, and I'll probably bank my transfer because there's not too much I need to do. But I think a lot of people are going to be surprised this week by just if your player isn't a Grealish or a Kane, I think they will get a lot of people are going to get rotated midweek.
Yeah. It's hard to know what to do, really. Even like Grealish could be a captain option. I don't know. I quite fancy him, but yeah, I think coming up to a Christmas period, it's quite stressful about getting your captain and your team right because you don't know who's going to be in and out of squads.
Yeah, I reckon a lot of people will be thinking about Grealish, so I reckon it's worth a quick discussion over whether you feel like you can trust Grealish enough to start him as a captain.
No. You only captain premium players. I don't think you ever should punt on like people who like, it's just like it never works. You should bank captain people like Bruno who score more often than they don't. Just try and like Grealish has got all of his points basically in two fixtures.
At Burnley home.
24 against Liverpool and 15 against Southampton. And then most of the time he's blanking.
But Burnley home next game week. Because this one's saying a lot of people will be thinking about.
I know, but that's not saying much.
Let me just get my teeth into Arsenal for a second. I properly see them as relegation rivals for Fulham. They are absolutely dreadful. They offer nothing going for, absolutely nothing. Their defence is shocking. I wouldn't take a single one of them. Rob Holding is just so, he's terrible. David Luiz, he's not fit to play for Blackburn. Any of them, the whole lot of them are absolutely woeful. Arsenal at home is not a measure of anything, especially when Xhaka gets sent off for putting his hand on someone's throat in the age of VAR. Does it get more stupid than that? Honestly, Arsenal are an absolute shambles. And Burnley beating Arsenal with 10 men is absolutely no measure of where Burnley are at. So Grealish, again, I think he's a pretty good option for captaining against Burnley at home.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's
no better than De Bruyne or Fernandes, in my opinion.
Yeah, Fernandes is also a shout. But I can imagine
United are terrible.
I don't know. I kind of back Wilder to shut up shop and kind of do well against the bigger teams. I don't know. I think he's got it in him. That's why I'm hesitant about Fernandes.
Wait, Chris Wilder, as in Sheffield United, they got one point.
Yeah, but they've done all right against the bigger teams, or have I just made that up?
Now we put four on them, but generally they only conceded one to City, conceded what they. Liverpool was 1-1, wasn't it? Or they just...
No. They got lost a point off Fulham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, they lost 1-0 to Arsenal. Yeah, I don't know. I think Fernandes is definitely in for a shout of having his captain.
Louis, well. You mentioned a few weeks ago, Fernandes away is a real shout.
Yeah, he loves away fixtures.
Yeah, West Ham... broke the trend a bit. That was only because he didn't play. But yeah.
Also, Fernandes absolutely loves small teams as well. He absolutely loves them.
That's why I think if you don't own De Bruyne, you're in a good place captaining Bruno. And he already has had his rest against West Ham, so I think he's nailed to start.
And they're not playing till Thursday night as well, so they got a bit of time.
That's a joke. They're playing Saturday, Thursday, and we're playing at 8 o'clock and we're playing Tuesday at 6 o'clock. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you've got to have De Bruyne in this week. I've got like two free transfers, so I think I'll bring him in. But I don't know what to do about Foden. I might
get rid of him. Probably.
I might. Yeah. I think it's
he will play against West Brom.
That's the thing. I don't know whether to bring Souček in for Foden because I save a bit of money, but then I don't know if Foden will come on and score. But
just give it one more week. I don't know. Because he didn't play.
I think I might.
I would genuinely, and that's actually.
For the last four game weeks, I've been saying if he's going to play a game, it's going to be this one. But I do believe it will be this one. So
yeah, because
I might keep him for 1 week longer,
which means he does usually play in midweek. So
yeah.
Oh well, I don't think we have anything more to say on that game week. I certainly don't want to talk about it any longer, so we'll join us for some differentials in part two. So this is part two, the differentials, where we advise players to pick and they don't get any points. So, Sam, did you buck the trend this week?
Yeah, so I went with Danny Welbeck, who obviously... Louis, you were pretty upset about him, weren't you?
Mm.
And then I went with, I think I went with Aure in defence. And Tottenham were pretty solid for most of that game, considering the amount of pressure they were under. Because what Tottenham do is they score that early goal and then they tend to just sit back and invite the pressure. But they don't invite the pressure in a way that most teams do, and they just look really shaky. Tottenham always look really solid. So I was actually quite surprised they conceded.
But it's they just classic Mourinho, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So Aure only got 2 points. I think Welbeck, did he come off before 60th minute?
No, he got 60, he got to 63rd. Big thing.
Okay, yeah. so that's, and then Pulisic didn't play. Oh, it's just awful. Obviously, I mean, we're going to change this differential rule now because these are just terrible picks, and we've really got to apologise to the listeners because the idea that I have actually told them to go with Danny Welbeck.
Christian Pulisic, he didn't play.
And before I went with Danny Welbeck, I went with Lacazette, who's an Arsenal player. He's an Arsenal player, and I told the listeners to choose. I really regret that, and I'm very sorry. I hope they don't file a claim against me. And then Pulisic didn't even play. Horrible. So yeah,
I wish he did. And I don't want to talk about Chelsea because it'll raise my blood pressure. But I mean, the width, the way you were like, which is what didn't have Havertz isn't a winger. I don't know what he is, but like, I mean, the way in which we were attacking is just so stale. Like, the game was crying out for Pulisic. It's so annoying. He's such a good player, but he's just, if you can only ever play 1 in 3 games, you're just never going to make it. I mean, he's hamstrings permanently gone.
Yeah, he's just so brittle, isn't he? Yeah. Which is a shame because he, end of last season, he was class.
He showed he can be one of the best players in the world, but he's just
Yeah. Right, so, well, and not having Ziyech as well, I think, is an issue. Not having both of them is a real problem.
An observation from that game quickly.
Yeah, go for it.
But it's just that, like, if you don't own Reece James, you should own Reece James for that price. Like, he's not getting the returns he should, but he was literally Chelsea's best attacking threat in that game, in my opinion. I mean, he hit the post. Everything goes through him on the right-hand side. He's quality. Yeah. That being said, he might not play a game.
I was going to say that. I think he's due a rest. With Azpilicueta, it's such a strong replacement for him. I reckon Lampard will be sort of trigger happy to get Azpilicueta in, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm looking to get a downgrade Chilwell to James when I've got a chance of knocking around.
It's such an easy way to free up runs, and you don't lose anything from it, I don't
think. Yeah, I agree.
That's beside the point. So, Joel, how are your differentials?
Well, I had Firmino and Walcott who got 2 and 3, which is not very good. Yeah, I know.
It was Sam's team.
But then I had Target in defence who got assists, so I pretty...
Wait.
Target got 5. He got the clean sheet and yellow card.
Yeah. Oh, was there a clean sheet and yellow card? Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, I don't remember him getting an assist.
No.
There's still the same amount of points.
No, yeah, okay. Yeah, no. You got 5. Well, you got 5 points, clean sheet and yellow card. So quite happy with that.
I love how so outraged about that, and it doesn't affect me at all because you already beat the other two.
It's just bad. It's just fake news. We don't want that. It's not what we're
But Joel, I thought your picks were actually good because Walcott only got 3 points, but I thought he was actually, he was really bright, played well, might even have gotten an assist.
Southampton are so good.
Yeah, Southampton are class. Armstrong's a good shout for a differential at some point.
Yeah,
he's really good value as well at 5.5.
Yeah, but no, Southampton have got a lot of good cheap options, I think, in general. Yeah. But yeah,
even
no,
like Gineppo, Moussa Gineppo.
He's rubbish, though.
A good little player, he really is. You think he's rubbish?
I don't think he's got a finished end product in him. He's like nicky and quick.
I agree with that. But he gets in positions.
Yeah, but I don't think he's got a finish on him. But yeah, anyway, I got Target with a clean sheet and a yellow card.
So your total was 10? Points.
Yep.
So I got Semedo, who scored an own goal the week before, gave away a penalty to wipe out his clean sheet. So I don't know if he got a yellow card for that. But... yeah, he would have got 1 or 2. Let's quickly double check. Yeah, he got 2, to be fair to him. And then Rafinha, who got 5. No, sorry, got 2. I wish he got 5. He got 2 in the 2-1 loss. I don't think he did an awful lot. Got 90 minutes, though. And then finally Danny Ings, who got 5. You'd think in a 3-0 win at home to Sheffield United, when Danny Ings plays 90 minutes, he'd get more than 5. But alas.
He'd just come back from injury, to be fair. I wouldn't be put off him.
Yeah, definitely. So I got 9 which means
Joel, you won.
This is my first win. I'm your having such a great week. Everything's going right this week.
Joel, so you won the first time.
He won it with joint with me.
Oh, no, that was a joint win, though. It doesn't count.
Are we saying that doesn't count as a win?
Well, it's not the same as this win, me out in front being with you guys. So,
yeah, but it did feel better because it was like 25 points and not just some 5 points.
Yeah.
So we thought this week we would change it up because not only is it dry, but suggestions are also terrible. So the combo of it probably makes pretty dire listening. So instead, what we're going to do is something really similar, which doesn't sound great, but we're going to go ownership of each player has to be below 10% rather than the aggregate of their ownership, so that it gives us a bit more flexibility and hopefully we can give some better advice and some more points. Joel, who are your three? Who's your trio?
So I'm sticking with Target again in defence. Just Villa have got Burnley at home again, which I think is probably, you'd hope to get a clean sheet out of that. Then in midfield, I've got Riyad Mahrez, who's owned by 9.2%. If you can't get De Bruyne in your team, he's possibly a good option to have as City cover. He's only 8.4, which is not too bad, and can sometimes kind of get really, really big returns. So I think he's definitely potentially worth having. And then I've gone for Martial up top, hoping he's back because he was a bit injured Sheffield United, you hope maybe you can grab a few points against them, but he's been not doing much this season, but he's only owned by 3.4%. So I've got Antonio Martial up front.
That's sometimes me. I just politely
did he say Antonio Martial?
Oh, what have I done this time?
Done it again.
It's just so rubbish. It's just so like it's just crap advice, I think. Like, Mahrez might well get rotated. He's played four league games he started in a row, probably due a rest. Even if he does play, is he someone you actually want on your team going forward who basically two players play on that position and he'll just get rotated with Fernand Torres, who I think will play, actually. I think Martial, it costs 8.7, so that's almost around the same sort of price bracket as players like Son. And are you actually going to... Like, are we putting him in the would you want Tony Martial on his team? Did you watch them play against like PSG where he was just missing?
Yeah.
Sitter after sitter. Didn't he come off injured against City?
No, he came on.
He came on.
So he didn't even start against City.
Actually, he almost got an assist though. Really close. I can't remember who he played through. I think it's Bruno Fernandes, but they really should have scored, actually.
He's a decent player. Like, there's no doubt he's a decent player. He's just
not a good fantasy option, which is what we're talking about.
Also, I don't think you can like say Mahrez is a bad option. If you've got kind of like Salah and Son, Kane, whoever, I think if you want a cheap City cover, he's definitely a good shout.
He's not cheap.
He's 8.4. It's not
bad. That's not bad. But also, like, you don't know with City, you don't know who's going to be playing all these games. Yeah, he might miss one or two, but he's still good. I think he's in Pep's first choice starting 11. And I think he's a very good player. Yeah. So.
Joel, I think if we're going to be really useful to our listeners, though, I think what I keep trying to stress about this like big five players of Son, Kane, Salah, De Bruyne, and Fernandes is I just think it's stupid to start bringing in players like Mahrez, because then that compromises your ability to have any of those other players in
there. Yeah, exactly.
Just think you should try your best to have those players and then make the most out of the rest of your team around those players.
Yeah, but I'm just saying if some people might not want all those players, their team might be kind of not particularly well balanced.
But I just think if they don't have those players and they have players like Mahrez over them, they just won't get as many points at the end of the season, and they just won't have a high overall ranking. I just think it's as simple as that. Because it's a long game, isn't it? You've got to average getting as many.
If you
start messing around with Mahrez, so he gets a hat trick every like 15 game weeks, then fine. But
yeah, I agree with Sam. It's like short termism to go and panic bring Mahrez for West Brom, and then you're just stuck with this 8.4 player to get rid of and make him to a good player. You're gonna have to take a -4, and you just lose a load of flexibility.
I think he's a good option.
Well, Sam, who are your picks? You better not go for anyone.
It's So my defender is Ola Aina, and so he's obviously a Fulham defender, and it's sort of common belief that Fulham's defence are bad, but they're actually not. It's a complete myth now. We're really well organised. Again, Liverpool didn't score a goal from open play against us and shouldn't have got the penalty. Man City only scored one goal from open play against us, and that's in two games. So only one goal from Man City and Liverpool in two games from open play. We're playing Brighton next week at home, which is a promising fixture. And I reckon we'll keep a clean sheet, considering how bad Brighton were. And also, I think it's a long-term option, to be honest, because Olerena gets forward pretty well.
Can I caveat, Sam, because I really want to argue that, because I think it's silly. Because Ola Aina, am I correct in saying he plays right centre-back and probably Reid and Robinson are full-backs?
I knew you were going to say that. And
so why would you go for the wing-back?
The reason I think, firstly, you can't, as in Anthony Robinson you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he gets forward as much when Ola Aina is on the right wing-back. And I don't think we'll be playing Ola Aina as a centre-back against the smaller teams like Brighton, like we have done in the last three games against Leicester, Man City and Liverpool, because we didn't before that.
Yeah, but that's my other point, is Fulham are defending really well when their primary objective is to defend. When you're playing these big teams and you have to sit back. But the whole, what's so challenging is when they actually need to force the game against Brighton and when they play Southampton at home afterwards, are they going to commit more, like, they are literally playing a very, very defensive system, which they will have to compromise if they want to pick up wins in those fixtures, which they need to. And that might...
Completely agree, but it's not like we don't have the players. In my opinion, Anguissa on form is in the top 10 best Premier League midfielders. We have great players like Lookman, Cavallero, Declan Overeem. They're all playing well going forward. So I really don't think scoring goals is going to be a problem for us, even against the smaller teams, which sounds weird, but it's just the way you can adapt your system against different teams. Anyway, I reckon we should move on. I've been on that for a while. Danny.
Yeah. The only reason I was arguing it is because I'm actually contemplating bringing in a Fulham defender, and that's why I was...
Yeah. I think it's a good shout going forward. I think we're looking really good defensively. I don't think, when you're thinking about defenders, I think you should firstly worry more about the structure of a team's defence rather than how many assists or goals they're going to get, because they're defenders at the end of the day. And I think the structure of Fulham's defence is pretty positive. No good signs. But yeah, Danny Ings against Arsenal away, which at the moment is looking a bit like playing Huddersfield at home in years gone by.
They're going to run riot at Southampton. They're going to destroy Arsenal.
If I'm honest, I don't really think I need to say a lot more than that. And in midfield, I thought, I'm going to have to go with a City midfielder. And I haven't actually chosen because I thought it was really difficult. Sterling, I could see getting a rest because they got so many quality wingers. Ferran Torres, I could see coming in. I've gone with Ferran Torres before and he hasn't started. And I know because we've upped this like percentage rule in the differentials, I could go with a more promising player, but Joel's taken Mahrez. And I think Ferran Torres, because he's so cheap as well, is actually a pretty decent shout for fantasy in general. So I'm going to go with Ferran Torres because I think he'll start and I think he's a really quality player when he plays.
He's only 6.9 as well, actually.
Yeah.
All right. My picks are in defence. We won't go into... I mean, I've gone for Anthony Robinson just because he's a wing-back and I actually thought he was quality and is always quality whenever I watch him play. So that's why I've gone for him, and they've got decent fixtures and they look relatively solid, but as I said, we'll see what they do when they play worse teams, which sounds counterintuitive. My midfielder, I have gone for... I can't really say Rashford because it just completely contradicts what I just said about going for players.
There's no way. If you're having a United midfielder, you're having Bruno Fernandes, you're not having Rashford any day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. So instead, I'm going to go for Thomas Suchek because he costs 5.0. They're playing Palace at home. Suchek enables you to get closer to being in that team with those five premium players because he's someone you can rely on to play and pick up your points. I think, was it Mourinho or someone described him as Moyes' new Fellaini, which he kind of is, because especially when they're chasing a goal, they put him up there and he wins everything.
And if I'm honest, I think I think he's got a lot more than Fellaini. I think he's got a lot more passion. Like, he wants passion. To win and get on the ball more than Fellaini ever did. I think he's got more quality. I think Fellaini, it's almost doing class, him dirty to compare him. Yeah, yeah, at Everton, but Man United is shocking.
Mm.
And he then just whacked him on when he needed a lamppost up front in the last 5 minutes.
My striker, I've gone for FPL royalty, but also it's very expensive. But Sergio Aguero, he's back into the fold. He came on and scored and looked really sharp in the Champions League. I know I said the thing about premiums, but I think Aguero, if he's fit, falls into the category of being one of those players who you really want in your team.
Completely agree. He's got
that explosive power. I mean, I've played fantasy for years, as you boys have, and like, Aguero very rarely has let me down over the years. He's just a machine.
Yeah, completely agree. Actually, when he's fit, he's the one City. Well, not the one, because he's got De Bruyne as well, but he will start when he's fit.
Yeah. But I don't think he's not the same player as old. He's had too many injuries. He's a year older. He hasn't played many minutes this season. I think if he gets, when he starts getting a decent run, he'll be good, but I still think it's quite early days to have him in your team.
I think that's an assumption. Yeah, it is early days, but I think it's just a careless assumption to say, like, oh, he's been injured, so he's not the same player. I could completely imagine you sitting here in 2 weeks going, like, oh, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to have to find a way of bringing in Aguero.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we'll see. Well, we'll see how. I think the West Brom game will be a good indicator of what's in store for him this season.
I think he's a good option. He might continue to ease him back in. Yeah. Every time I picked a City player in this, they've always not started religiously, so he probably won't play.
Yeah. Well, I think we've chosen three City players, and I think at least one of them's probably not going to start, so we're just going to have to wait and see who that is.
It's going to be exciting. Hopefully we do better this week. Okay, so for part three, we are going to do a new concept. Fantasy Room 101, where each of us assigns something within the game of fantasy football to the room, something we hate and detest and wish didn't exist within the game. Joel, what are you going to get your teeth into?
So what I've chosen is, like, after watching the games that are on today, it's just like fantasy seem to offer out like assists, like they're kind of just like sweets. Like it's just like a joke. You just hand them out like willy-nilly to like whoever. And it's kind of like, yeah, it's good for the game because there are more points like floating around. But also, like, Wijnaldum getting an assist for a handball, like that just doesn't make any sense. When he gets, he got three points and a bonus point, and I just don't understand how he kind of gets 3 points in the same way. Like, you can whip in like an unreal ball behind the back or across or whatever, and you still get the same 3 points as Wijnaldum gets for kicking it into the wall and someone handballing it. That doesn't make sense. And also, like, Jamie Vardy today, like, I know I had him in my team, so I'm like quite happy, but I don't see how his assist for the first Maddison goal was assist. I didn't really see him touching the ball. It wasn't intentional. He didn't set up Maddison, yet he still gets 3 points for it. And it's not the first time it's happened this season. So
it benefited you though, Joel.
Yeah, no, I can't really complain that much. Yeah, Calvert-Lewin did it against someone ridiculous earlier in the season.
United.
Yeah. Like, what is that about? Like, yeah, cool, like, we'll have him and, like, people like having points. But you've got to kind of have some kind of, like, I don't know, structure where it actually makes sense to hand out these assists, so.
I get what you're saying completely. And it's annoying when you don't have those players, but I do think it makes fantasy a bit more interesting just because, like, there's more chance of you getting more points, and you can get more excited when your player's just got like a last minute touch, and you just go straight on the app and like, oh, did he get that?
It's just the fact that KDB plays a beautiful through ball in behind, and it's counted the same as when Danny Welbeck like shouldered the ball into someone's hand.
It's like Picasso spending a year to draw a painting, and then like my little brother just like splurging a load of paint on a board, and like you're getting the same mark for it, and you're like, Jesus, ridiculous.
But they can't hand out assists for literally anything, you know. They've got to kind of like draw the line at what they're going to hand out assists for. So I think, I don't know. I get if you win a free kick and you score from the free kick, perhaps that's an assist, but not a handball off the ball you kicked for the penalty. I don't think that's pushing it a bit. But yeah, anyway, as long as Vardy still gets points, I don't really mind.
Okay, I have two things to rant about, and one of them's kind of linked to that. And I'm just going to say a brief thing about it, because the second thing I've got to rant about is like a real thing that grinds my gears. But the first thing I have to rant about is the bonus point system. I just don't get it at all. Like, why certain people get so many more bonus points than other people when they've done exactly the same contribution, like they've got an assist or whatever, but then one gets like 20 more bonus points than the other. I just don't understand the way that works. Like, for example, Gaeta has an unbelievable game against Tottenham. Unbelievable game, makes a load of assists, and he's nowhere near getting a bonus in the game. And you think, okay, Harry Kane, yeah, he gets loads of fouls and all that, but he's top of the bonus point system when you think he's done nowhere near as much in the game as someone like Gaeta.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Gaeta was such a joke. He made like a ridiculous amount of like clutch saves and gets 3 points out of the game, and then Son, who's played a 2 yard pass to Kane for him to score a banger, gets 5 points. It's just like, there's no, it doesn't understand that, which is just infuriating.
And the second thing I have to rant about is I have a theory that there's this mafia ring in football to facilitate the success of the big clubs. And it just goes through VAR. VAR is like the new vehicle for allowing this to happen. You see, for example, I've actually written notes about this. It's annoyed me so much. Like the Fulham penalty today that wasn't given, it was on VAR. VAR looked at it and told the referee to go and look at the monitor. And for only the second time this season, given how many times VAR intervenes, the second time this season he hasn't given it. Is it a shock that it's in favour of Liverpool against such a small club like Fulham? I think not. Even Graham Souness thought it was a pen. Graham Souness! There's, apart from Roy Keane and Man United, there's got to be no one who's more biased about their team than Graham Souness.
Jamie Carragher, yeah.
Jamie Carragher. Like, look at anyone listening to this, which probably won't be, look at our Twitter, that tweet that I put up about Jamie Carragher. And like, I'm more sure about Fulham going down the Liverpool in the league. I mean,
that whole rant as
we
well.
Almost beat you, so shh. Anyway, to go further, you can see this like mafia ring with Project Big Picture, like shamelessly trying to take power off of smaller clubs, all the decisions they get, and Klopp still rants when the smaller clubs don't agree with him about the amount of substitutes he's getting, which is only going to improve. Like, how can you even complain about that? He just like cries about it to Des Kelly on TV, and then. I mean, all this is going to do is encourage managers, like, to relate it back to fantasy, because I know this is a bit of a general rant, but to relate it back to fantasy, if that were to happen, all it would do is encourage managers to rest more players that you have in your fantasy team, and that would just infuriate every fantasy manager more. But it would, because...
You've gone from football mafia to occasionally KDB might get rested.
No. it's just me trying to find a way to get this live and get this trending. Hashtag mafia ring in football.
Can I just quickly come in on the point? I do think that big teams get systematically better treatment. I don't think it's because of some mafia thing. I think it is just because of like a culture of fear. I think social media has exacerbated it, where like if they make a decision against Liverpool, the abuse that the everything is such a bigger deal when you give something against a bigger club. And I think that's social media, I think, has exacerbated that compared to what it used to be. And like, I don't know, accountability and stuff. Whereas if you don't give Fulham a penalty, it really isn't as much of a big deal as if you don't give Liverpool a penalty. And I think it is just, it so shouldn't come into it. But I think there is a bit of a culture of fear, especially with clubs like Liverpool, United. And the fact that Klopp will come at him at the press conference afterwards if he gets it wrong. Mourinho used to do that loads. There's a reason they do it and they bring it public. It's next time they might be scared into giving that same decision.
No, I agree. But also, like, there's so much more money around these big clubs as well. So it's kind of like, I know it's different for smaller clubs, so they lose a lot of money if they go down, but there's so much more money floating around these big clubs. So small decisions like that actually make a massive financial impact as well. So I think that's why they care a lot about it as well. Also, I just don't think that should come into it, you know, like, decisions should be made because of what happens on the pitch, not because of all these external factors that are going on.
Arsenal are still terrible, even though they would be in a team that they would be in a position that would directly benefit from the mafia ring.
I For my rant, I was going to do VAR and just do a generic rant about how it's killing the game and it's horrendous. And I can link it to fantasy because, I mean, some of these stupid handballs, like Salah coming away with 7 points in a game where he did nothing because Wijnaldum's kicked the ball and Kamara's... I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, but I can't be bothered because everyone's heard it a million times before. Instead, I'm going to rant, or what I'm going to assign to room 101. It's just like rotation for the sake of rotation just does my nut in. Like, I get sometimes players, like Pulisic, makes sense to rotate him. He has a bad hamstring. But some players, no track record of injuries. And you're asking them, players whose entire job is to play two games in a week. I don't understand why that's completely unfeasible. When the Championship, for instance, has 24 teams, they play Monday, Saturday, Wednesday constantly. And for some reason, for Guardiola and his like £200,000 a week players, that's somehow like cruelty or whatever. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
And it's Matthew Ring.
I just think from a football perspective as well, Man City currently sit in ninth with one of the best squads in the league. And do you not think it's a coincidence that they never play? Well, why don't you just say to Laporte and Diaz or Stones and Diaz, I'm going to play you every single week and then you can build a relationship together? I don't understand why that's now. Or why don't you let Mahrez, Sterling, Jesus play every week? What are you doing mixing it up the whole time? Because all you're doing
affects their cohesion. That's a really good point. Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm just so bored of it. Like, I'm like, we're captaining KDB this week. I'm look at that team sheet and there's a good chance Pep's not going to play his best player. Like, why is that? Like, it's just absurd. I don't know if it's attention seeking. I don't know what it is, but
absolutely. But I mean, like, I just hate football in the sense, just got to such an obscene level of like self-importance. In every other walk of life, people work their asses off. And it negatively affects their health. But like, footballers can't play more than twice in a week, and that's just we've got to protect them from that. Just grow up.
They're getting paid enough.
For some reason, it's getting so like talked about now when it's always happened. Like, teams always play the fixtures.
I can't bear it. I'd rather just stop talking about it, to be honest. Can't face it.
All right, so those are our three topics. I was going to say we could do a vote on them, see which ones they want in room 101, but I just don't think enough people listen to this and two follow up and make that a worthwhile exercise. So, well, if you agree with us, then drop us a message. I'm sure we'll be inundated. But join us for the last part for a little cheeky quiz prepared by Sam, so it probably won't be great.
Okay, so for this last section, I'm going to take over Louis's role as the sort of presenter. And I'm going to quiz Joel and Louis, and they're going to be pitted against each other. The question is, if you can name any of the 10, or all of the 10, the top 10 FPL player performances of all time, i.e. who's got the most points in a single game. The top 10. And we'll leave some time for them to try and work it out. Ooh. I'll give them 5 minutes and obviously cut that bit out.
I've got a good one already.
Okay, go. Okay, so they've had their 5 minutes. And just to remind you of the rules, so it's the top 10 FPL player performances, individual player performances of all time in specific games that have got the most points. And I'm going to add a bonus point system. So if they can guess the team that it was against, then they will get a bonus point. Louis, who have you gone with?
So I have said Aguero against Newcastle when he scored 5 goals. Okay. I captained him that day. I've done Jermaine Defoe against, I think it was Wigan, he scored 5. I've done Luis Suarez against Norwich. I've done Son versus Southampton. I have then gone into guessing territory. I said Dimitar Berbatov. I think he scored a load of goals in one game once. I have gone for Henri just because he was really good. I said Drogba against Wigan. Chelsea beat Wigan loads of goals. And must have done a big haul. And then I've said Kevin De Bruyne and Cristiano Ronaldo is my just stabs in the dark.
Okay, Joel?
I've got a few. I had Jermaine Defoe as well. For some reason, I remember him getting loads of goals some game. I can't remember who it was against, but I haven't got Defoe.
Surely, if you didn't know, you should just guess the team that Louis went with, just to cover that, just in case he gets a bonus point.
Just being honest.
Yeah, no, I can't remember who he said.
That's so true. Going second does give him a massive advantage.
No. These are all people I've written down.
I think that first answer is an example that Joel probably won't win this.
He was the first name I wrote down.
No. I'm not saying Defoe is a bad shout. It's just that you didn't just say the team that Louis said as well.
Yeah, no. So, but no, I had a lot of similar players. So I had Suarez against Norwich. Definitely got to be up there. I also maybe had Sterling from that game as well. I can't remember. Well,
Sterling is actually a good shout. He does go big.
Grealish, maybe from 7-2 this season.
Oh, fuck.
I thought could be on it.
Are you saying who that was against? Or
Liverpool, I was against Liverpool.
Yeah. Also, Joel, are you going with Sterling? Or?
Yeah, he's in my 10, but I don't really know. Yeah. So I've got Defoe, Sterling, Theo Walcott used to play.
Oh, he scored against Southampton. It was against Newcastle. He scored a load for Arsenal.
Yeah. When he was playing up top at Arsenal at a point.
But you don't get the Newcastle bit because I said that.
No. I knew it was against Newcastle.
Bollocks.
I'll give him that.
Fuck off when you give him that.
I'm not saying it's right, though. I'm just saying, I think it's fair enough.
But yeah, I think Walcott played. Yeah, he was a midfielder on fantasy, but he was playing up top for Arsenal. Grealish as well, and then I've got Aguero, Mahrez, Son, and Vardy. The 9-0 Leicester Southampton. I couldn't think.
Oh yeah,
Vardy must have been a top scorer then, but I can't remember who else. But Vardy must have been up there, and then Aguero. Louis said Mahrez and Son midfielders can get hat tricks, but
because if you haven't said the fixtures, but anyway.
No, I don't know the fixtures.
So you've both got nine. You both guessed nine players. Do you want to guess one extra each? Oh, yeah. Just to...
Can I say Frank Lampard?
Okay.
I'll say against Aston Villa as a stab in the dark. So we beat them 8-0. Okay.
I got 10, Sam. I got Defoe. Oh, Hazard. I didn't say Hazard.
Okay, Hazard.
Oh, I took Hazard off at the end, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Hazard was a bit of a late guess.
Okay, are you ready to find out?
Are we doing number 10 to number 1?
Oh, I can do it that way around if you prefer.
Wow, yeah, that'd be exciting.
Okay, so number 10 was Trent Alexander-Arnold against Leicester City.
Oh, he scored a hat-trick, didn't he, last season? It was the season.
No. He scored one goal and he got a hat-trick of assists and a clean sheet.
Oh, that's filthy. Yeah.
Which makes him 10th in the all-time list with 24 points.
Well, that's a high bar.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The next player, number 9, is the one that I thought was pretty unattainable. If you got this, I think it counts as 10 bonus points. It's Yannick Bolasie. Away to Sunderland, when they won 4-1, he scored an 11-minute hat-trick and got 24 points.
Jeez.
There's always that one twat who's like triple captain, Tim, that you see come up.
And then in 8th, we've got Luis Suarez in the 5-1 win against Norwich in December 2013. Yes. He got 3 goals and 1 assist.
Such good goals as well.
Yeah, unbelievable goals, yeah. Then next, 7th, is Jorginho Wijnaldum for Newcastle against Norwich.
Oh, forward. Oh, I remember that game as well.
Oh, yeah, that's a great shout.
He scored 4 goals in that game. And Joel, you're a closet Newcastle fan. I'm surprised you didn't get that one.
That must have passed me by.
And then next in, I think 6th, is Dimitar Berbatov. I think Louis got that one.
Great
in
shout,
the 7-1 win at home to Blackburn. So nice one there, Louis. And then 5th, we got Jermaine Defoe. Tottenham's 9-1 win against Wigan. Yeah, he scored 5 goals. And all 5 of the goals in the second half for Tottenham. And next, we've got Sergio Aguero. Yeah. 6-1 win against Newcastle, where he scored 5 goals. That was a pretty incredible game. And I remember triple captaining him in that game. put that one out there for the listeners. Next, Joel, got to commend you with this one. It's Theo Walcott.
Yeah, great shout from me.
Was it against Newcastle?
It was against Newcastle.
But Joel 7-3. Didn't see the word Newcastle, by the way. I said it, and then...
Yeah, but you didn't give an opportunity. Newcastle. You just said
I knew it was Newcastle. I 100% know it was Newcastle.
You've got to give him the bold there. So, Joel, you've had 2 points for that.
Cheers. Newcastle are featuring a lot in this. They're scoring and conceding lots of points.
And that was 26 points for Theo Walcott. So they're all quite close together in terms of points.
Yeah.
Next, you just... got it at the end, Frank Lampard. And incredibly, it was in a 7-1 win over Aston Villa.
Oh, it's a different Aston Villa game to the one I was describing. That's so lucky.
And he put four goals past Brad Friedel in 2010, yes. March 2000.
Frank does not let you down.
I'd Lampard down when he crossed him out.
And number one, and I'm surprised because let me just look. Did either of you go with him? I think neither of you went with him. Incredibly, it's Mo Salah.
Oh.
And it was last season. He got 29 points in Liverpool's 5-0 win against Watford, and he scored twice in each half and provided the assist for Roberto Firmino's goal.
Oh, I actually remember that as well. The worst part is as well is the bit just which we cropped out is when I say to Joel, "Oh, I haven't put Salah in." He goes, "Yeah, I'm not either." Both.
So, have you counted up your points?
I can do it now. I didn't. That he burped, I've got his again. Three. I got nine.
Yeah, I think I only got six. So I got four players and I got Suarez and Walcott fixtures.
Yeah, I think Lou did well because he got a few more of the guesses for who they were playing.
The Lampard Villa one is just a complete clear at the end there.
So it could have been much closer than it was, but Liverpool, Louis, you take the cake. And Joel, another loss.
It's probably he's not very bright. I mean,
Joel, it's probably time you started coming up with the questions instead.
Yeah, no, I'll think of one. I'll think of one for next week.
He'd make them attainable for himself, so they'd be so basic.
We could do one like, what are the lowest scoring?
Richard Dunn would be up on that one because he's own goal and red card merchant. Granit Xhaka as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Granit Xhaka, don't get me started. Anyway, Lou, because I started the question, do I do you the outfit? Or
are you ready for that yet? You go for it, Sam.
I don't know if I'm ready. Okay,
I'll go for it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again on Thursday with reaction from this game week. Best of luck, and see you guys soon.